Meet Reed L. Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. Last week we talked about the corruption of America. And it comes in three legs to the corruption stool. We talked about government, and we could have talked about government for weeks and weeks. We talked about unions. And this week we're going to finish up this ugly thought process by talking about corporations, business, the corruption of business. They all work in tandem with one another. And government is the linchpin of the corruption which is spread through our society. Let me give you some examples. Last week, you know, we talked about the unions. We talked about the government, them using your money to buy votes for themselves. Basically a redistribution of wealth. You get taxed. They take the money. They buy a vote with it. In the process, undermining the moral fiber, the value fiber of this country. Because that's really what happens with corruption, right? It's a state of mind. So, in 1969, the U.S. tax code, it had 16,500 pages. By 2007, it had 67,506 pages. Most of this is kind of a corporate welfare, shall we say, a rich welfare. I'm not down on the rich. I'm not one of those people running around saying, oh, the one percenters. But nonetheless, the influence of the quote-unquote one percenters is in direct relation to the growth in the tax code, because most of those 50,000 pages were either new taxes on you and me, or they were some type of deduction, some type of loophole for people who had money to buy influence, which I call corruption. Senator Tom Colburn of Oklahoma, he recently published a report on the subject. It's called Subsidies of the Rich and Famous. You can look it up on Google. According to that study, kind of boiling it down to its essence, we now spend $200 billion annually on direct transfer payments to the very rich. And you've heard stories about this on TV, etc. But $200 billion, folks, is 15% of our annual deficit. Many of the recipients of that largesse, by the way, are rather significant contributors to one party or the other. More to the Democrats than the Republicans, but both parties are at fault. You know, there hasn't been a budget passed in almost 1,200 days in Washington, D.C. Besides being a breach of constitutional duty, it is a breach of moral duty. I think not passing a budget is corruption. There's no way to monitor the progress. There's no way to control the flow of funds. There's a real simple solution. People have to be held accountable. How about this? How about if you held all the senators and congressmen personally liable for a deficit each year? That's right. You don't have a balanced budget. You're an elected representative. And guess what? Your butt's on the line for that deficit. Boy, I bet there'd be a budget. I bet we'd even meet it. How about a flat tax? Forget this 67,000, which, by the way, is close to 80,000 now. 67,000 pages of tax code. Burn it. Put it in a big pile in a heavy wind with some gasoline and a match. You could do the tax code in 20 pages. Everybody pays. There's skin in the game. That 48% of the population we talked about last week, yeah, they write a check. Oh, my. What a novel concept. I don't care if it's $50, $100, whatever. They have skin in the game. I bet they'd start caring. Maybe we could reinstill in them, through money from their pockets, some sense of American value, some sense of American principle, some sense of the way it used to be, when everybody contributed. If we move down the corporate corruption ladder, did you know that the 10 largest American bankruptcies in history have all occurred in the last decade? You don't think that's a coincidence, do you? It's not. No, it's symbolic. It's another one of those huge symbolisms of the corruption which pervades kind of the three-legged stool of government, the people and the unions, and business. And the marriage between business and government we're going to talk about here in just a little bit, because it'll just make you puke. Some of the largest American bankruptcies in history have all been in the last decade. Lehman Brothers, $691 million. Washington Mutual, $327 billion. I'm sorry, that was $691 billion. That's a pretty big bankruptcy. Washington Mutual, $327 billion. WorldCom, $103 billion. General Motors, $91 billion. CIT, $80.4 billion. Enron, $65 billion. Remember all the uproar about Enron? Oh, it was the, I mean, Enron's a small one. Conseco, $61.4 billion. MF Global, $41 billion. Chrysler, $39.3 billion. And Thornburg Mortgage, $36.5 billion. You can trace all these back, well, not all, the great majority, to corruption. Either corruption on the part of the company, corruption on the part of the mentality of the public it served, gimme, 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 entitled, 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 or corruption of the government in terms of the policies which allowed some to fail and some to succeed. You notice that several names on that list got huge government bailouts, which came from, yeah, you and me. That's right. You bet. You and me. You know, you and me, we're kind of the stopgap for this government. We feed the corruption of government every time we write a check to the government. All of these failures had a couple things in common. They had extremely well-compensated CEOs with long tenures, boards of directors which were asleep at the wheel, and vast amounts of debt that would seem completely unsafe by any reasonable standard. And they had accounting policies that deliberately, you know, misled investors. In most of these cases, this is really important. This goes back to that skin in the game. Like, even if you get $5,000 a year in food stamps and that's your only income, you need to have skin in the game. Because in the majority of these cases, the board members and the executive management had no material investment in the company. I mean, if you don't have skin in the game, you don't care. That's just human nature. That's not an American condition. The financial jeopardy of these companies was apparent for years. Everybody ignored it. Just like right now, the corruption of America is being ignored by the press, by the people, shall we say, fostered by the unions, cackled at by the government, and smiled at by big business. When the Senate subcommittee that investigated Enron's collapse, they went further. And they started looking at Citigroup and JP Morgan. Here's just a little quote from their study. The evidence demonstrates that Citigroup and J.P. Morgan actively aided Enron in executing transactions despite knowing the transactions utilized deceptive accounting or tax strategies in return for substantial fees or favorable consideration in other business dealings. That's corruption, folks. That's your banks out there aiding and abetting corruption. The banks in that case, by the way, in August 2003, settled with the SEC for a combined $255 million. They didn't admit guilt. they didn't stop committing fraud. They just kind of paid their way out of it. Using what? Money from you and me. In 2004, Citigroup settled for $2.65 billion, that's $2.65 billion, to get out of charges it had defrauded lenders and investors in the collapse of WorldCom. That was the other big scandal-laden collapse you might have heard about. By the way, here's an interesting sideline for you. You talk about corruption spreading its ugly tentacles everywhere? Oh, my. The plaintiff who brought that case against Citicorp where they paid $2.65 billion to wiggle their way out of it, was New York State Comptroller Alan Hevesi. Hevesi is now in jail. That's right, the guy who brought the fraud charges against Citicorp exposed Citicorp's corruption in all these collapses that you and I paid for, that render asunder the fabric of America. He's now in jail himself. 4 years. In a bribery case. You see, the corruption extends even to those who prosecute the corruption. AIG paid $800 million in a settlement in 2006, just before its collapse in 2008, triggered kind of the global financial catastrophe that was the result of the mortgage deal. See, AIG is a reinsurer. All those ugly mortgages out there, which then caused the collapse of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, were insured by AIG. And if AIG couldn't pay on the insurance, we would have had a financial global meltdown. It's one of the reasons they got $165 billion, I believe, in money from you and me. You and me figures prominently in this, don't we? Fannie Mae paid $400 million to settle accounting charges in 2006, just 2 years before it collapsed. It's now a government, a ward of the government, with a $400 billion hole that you and me are going to pay for. And its CEO, Franklin Raines, you remember that guy? We talked about him. We talked about him relative to Mr. Obama, because he's now an economic advisor to Mr. Obama. How cozy we all are. He walked away with close to $100 million in compensation. He was never criminally charged. He even admitted to cooking the books so he could get the bonuses. He was never criminally charged. Goldman Sachs, you know, this is a crooked outfit. They paid $550 million in 2010 related to fraudulent mortgage securities. Also from this whole Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, mortgage derivatives, AIG mess. Citigroup paid $400 million in 2003 for bogus equity research. Invesco paid $325 million in 2004 after admitting it ripped off its own mutual fund investors in a late trading scheme. In other words, they knew what was going to happen. They solicited investments. The investments were exactly the opposite of what they knew was going to happen. And off we go. Corruption. Prudential was dinged $270 million in the same scandal, except they're not scandals. You barely hear about this stuff anymore. Instead we have $160,000 a year entitled students at Georgetown Law School, this gal that is the poster child right now for women's rights. Instead, we have her on the TV telling us about how not only should we pay for all this stuff, we should pay for her birth control. Well, you know, I think that's corrupt. Some of you are probably out there shaking your heads going, what is he talking about? It's birth control. Look, anytime a party, I don't care whether it's the union or it's the government, or it's business, takes your money and gives it to somebody else for their own purposes, leaving you high and dry, it's corruption. You know, Steve Jobs, who did a lot of great things, he was one of the most flagrant abusers of what's called options. That's when you pay your board members and your executive options in the form of stock. You know, Apple Computers, probably the richest company in the world now, and one of the most profitable, if not the most profitable, has never paid a dividend. Yet they have increased their outstanding share count via options issuance to their top executives by 47% in the last 10 years. Where's that money coming from, folks? If you're an investor, if I am, and I'm not, and you are an investor in Apple Computers, guess what's coming from us? We're back to the you and me. We're paying for this corruption. Yet we're doing nothing about it, and we hear nothing about it. Franklin Range, you know, our buddy there who is Mr. Obama's buddy, part of his whole sordid group that he has ringed around him. You know what he paid to get out of his $100 million? Take $100 million, cook the books, take $100 million of our money, collapse these mortgage giants for $400 billion, which we're going to pay for, that's you and me. He got off the hook for a $2 million fine. That's right, he kept $98 million of our money for costing us $400 billion of our money. And now he works in the government directing economic policy. This is not a pretty picture. It's corruption. As long as the idea of entitlement remains ascendant, and I don't mean just entitlement from the guy who doesn't want to work, eats bonbons, and sits on the couch watching soap operas going out to the mailbox for his government check. I'm talking about top-level executives who keep the profit but none of the risk and pass the losses on to us, you and me. We're going to have corruption. We're not yet at the fascism stage, but, you know, we're not too far. Because government fuels this corruption in business. It fuels it with favorable laws, favorable tax codes, you know, that extra 50,000 pages of tax codes, all to buy favor, all to get money, all to buy votes, all to consolidate power. It's like one big circle of corruption. Porter Stansberry, who's a pretty smart guy, he calls this the New American Socialism. Let me read you what he says. In the New American Socialism, the power of the system produces private profits. In this way, it provides a huge incentive to entrepreneurs and politicians to work together on behalf of the system. This is what keeps the system going. This is what keeps it from collapsing upon itself. And this, unfortunately, is why the imbalances in the world economy will continue to grow until the entire global monetary system itself implodes. You know, he's looking at a whole different realm of this than I am. I'm talking about American values imploding. But it goes back to what we talked about last year, right? The money is the indicator. It's that big red flag at the top of the pole flying in the stiff breeze of corruption saying something's wrong. Something's horribly, horribly wrong. Let's take a look at Obama. Let's look at this wedding, this unholy wedding between business and government corruption. Let's take a look at Obama's green loan scams. I mean, you've heard a lot about this. The poster child for this is Solyndra. I mean, I think everybody's heard that name, right? But, folks, that's the tip of the iceberg. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So far, there's been about a $14 billion loss in this alternative energy scam, which is based upon the global warming scam, which also revolves around people wanting more control and more money from you and me. Okay? Solyndra is like a drop in the bucket in what's going on in this alternative energy global warming scam. This money's all going to government's friends, Obama's donors, his buddies. After all the screaming and yelling, Obama squeezed another green funding round, if you will, out of our pockets from you and me. $737 million. You know who got that? Solar Reserve. You know who finances Solar Reserve? Which, by the way, is like on the brink of bankruptcy. Solar Reserve is financed by Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law. Crony socialism. You know, it's so sad. It's so sad. Yeah, her brother, Ronald Pelosi, is in charge of PCG Clean Energy and Technology. That's the number one financial backer for Solar Reserve. Argonaut Private Equity, they took a huge loss on their Solyndra bet, is also contributing money to Ronald Pelosi's government-funded green project. And both of them are huge contributors to Democrats and to Mr. Obama. None of this is a coincidence. It's blatant corruption that's being hidden from you. But it's being paid for by you. In May 2010, Steve Wesley, a California venture capitalist, and he's an Obama donor, he wrote an email to Valerie Jarrett. Remember her from our program on the Czars? Valerie Baby is a communist. She's also the closest advisor to President Barack Obama, personally selected by him. You know, Barack Obama, judge me by who I associate with. Anyway, Steve Wesley was one of the Solyndra boys. Now, you tell me after you listen to this memo if right after they got the money from the government, $523 million, that they didn't know they were a lost cause. Quote, I just want to help protect the president from anything that could result in negative or unfair press. It's too late to postpone the meeting. The president should be careful about unrealistic, optimistic forecasts that could haunt him in the next 18 months if Solyndra hits the wall, files for bankruptcy, etc. You don't think they knew? You don't think your government and this business knew that $523 million was lost the day the check was approved by Chief Stephen Chu at the behest of Mr. Obama for his campaign contributors? Of course they knew. It's totally corrupt. Totally corrupt. You know, excuse me, my computer, I've been looking at some stuff on the computer while I'm talking. It just turned off on me. Technology. You know, on, off, add, detach, delete, send. Those are my commands. Anything above that's above my pay grade. His $737 million green stimulus, it guaranteed loans for 14 earth-friendly companies. He claimed that the $38.6 billion loan guarantee program for all these alternative energies, which are just going to save us, you know, the algae, as he's been telling us in his latest speeches, they were going to create 65,000 jobs. You know how many jobs that $38.6 billion created? 3,545. You can do the math on that. Think of what that $38.6 billion could have done in the pockets of you and me. Productive members of society. Even if we aren't campaign contributors to Barack Obama. Solyndra, Light Squared, all those companies that you've heard about, the ones we just reviewed, that's not all, folks, unfortunately. The corruption goes on and on and on. We've talked about General Electric, totally corrupt company, morally bankrupt company, intertwined. You couldn't tell Jeffrey Immel and Barack Obama apart at a party. They're basically wrapped around each other kissing. It's kissy face. Let me tell you some more. Evergreen Solar Inc. They got $5.3 million of stimulus money to build solar panels at 11 colleges and universities. They filed for bankruptcy last month. Actually, 2 months ago. SpectraWatt. They received $500,000. And stimulus money to build solar panels. They filed for bankruptcy 2 months ago, too. Mountain Plaza, Inc. They filed for bankruptcy in 2003. They got $424,000 in stimulus money in 2009. And when the enterprise again filed bankruptcy in 2010, what they were doing is making systems that turned off, true, I'm not making this up, environmentally hazardous diesel engines when truck drivers stopped their rigs. Then there's Olson's Crop Service and Olson Mills Acquisition Company, huge Obama donors. Mr. Obama gave them $10 million from you and me. Remember, these dollars, this isn't some entity that has nothing to do with us. This is our money. This is money I've worked hard for, you've worked hard for. He gave them $10 million of our money to create jobs, buy new equipment, and refinance their debt. 4 months later, January of 2010, they received the stimulus money after they filed for bankruptcy. That's right. They got the stimulus money, the $10 million, after they had filed for bankruptcy. Now, this is blatant corruption. Blatant corruption. And it's driven by a corrupt hoax, which, by the way, Senator Jim Imhoff, he's the ranking Republican member of the Environment and Public Works Committee in the Congress. He just came out with a book. You might want to read it. Just look under The Greatest Hoax. Inhofe, I-N-H-O-F-E. Basically, he asserts that this entire global warming thing is a great hoax. It's all about money, the carbon exchange markets, and how there are certain people who will make lots of money in this carbon exchange. We've talked about this before. And how it's a cover to take money from you and me and, in the most corrupt of ways, pass it out to buddies to curry favor, to increase power. It's that same conundrum. So how do we change this? You know, we change this by accountability. I gave you one, you probably think, radical idea there where if we don't have a budget and we don't meet the budget every year, then our boys in Congress who are supposed to be doing that stuff, it comes out of their hides. They're personally liable for the budget of the United States. They're our fiduciaries. They're using money from you and me. They need to be held accountable. Next week, we're going to have an interview with a great guy, David Rare, former president of the National Broadcasting Association, one of the top lobbyists in Washington for 30 years. I interviewed him 4 or 5 months back. He has a computer system he's been working on, and this computer system will show in real time if any bureaucrat in any government writes a check for $10, you'll be able to find it. You know, if you can throw light on this seething cauldron of dark corruption, you can probably end it. And you can certainly end it by throwing light on it and at the same time making sure these people have skin in the game, liability or money or both. We have, let me tell you another little scam here. This can be the last one. In concert with the pharmaceutical companies, in concert with medical suppliers, in concert with the unions, what you probably don't know is that there is there's a committee. It's already been formed. It's 15 members. You have no say in it. Congress has no say in it. It's called IPAB. Remember that name because you're going to hear more and more and more and more about it. It's the Independent Payment Advisory Board, appointed by Obama. These bureaucrats, without approval by you, me, Congress, no one, they have been given the power under Obamacare to determine what the standards of care will be for you and me. Think about this. You and me are paying for them. They're determining the standards of care for you and me. And what this has become is another way to take even more than the $500 billion that Obama stole from Medicare and Medicaid, basically bankrupting those entitlement programs, that he's now using to distribute in various nefarious ways to buy votes from people who are on food stamps and to buy campaign contributions and power from various companies, corrupt companies, some of which, a tiny portion of which we've reviewed here in the last 20 or 25 minutes. So, it's not just money anymore. Our lives, our medical care is at stake. They're taking money from our medical care, determined absolutely at random. This goes back to, remember our story on the czars, right? Everybody has a worth. Okay? The IPAB decision-making body, appointed by the president and answerable only to him, has total control on how much care senior citizens will be allowed. Listen to those words. Will be allowed to receive. It is at the point where even if you can pay for it yourself, you may not be allowed to receive the care. Payment caps will be determined on cost-benefit criteria set for society, not on your need or my need, but on what they determine is the standard for society. It goes back to Cass Sunstein and Holdren's idea of the value of an individual and where to put resources. If you're old, you have no value. You're not productive. You can't pay taxes. You and me have expired. Older patients with a few years ahead of them and less cost-benefit outlook, they're not going to get any payment authorization. They may not be allowed to pay for their own medical care, which will be rationed because of the shortage of doctors. Also, money can be drawn from those various systems and spread around for all these other nefarious purposes. IPAB is so outrageous. It's so egregious. Okay, it is the death panel that they said did not exist. Sure, they're not saying, okay, Reed, your turn to die, bye. They're not looking at any of you and saying, hey, Sally Lou, bye-bye. What they're saying is, hey, you know, if you live for another 50 years, great, but we doubt it because you get no more medical care. You get no more money for medical care, and you're not allowed to have medical care. The limited amount of medical care available and the limited amount of dollars available, because all the dollars have been sucked out for all these other corrupt uses, dictates that you don't get medical care. So I guess what they're really saying in a politically correct way is, go die. Okay? Your health is at stake, not just your wallets, folks. It's so bad that Barney Frank, and trust me, I am no fan of Barney Frank. Barney Frank. Barney Frank. He is obnoxious. He is obnoxious. But even Barney Frank has screamed and yelled about IPAB. Even Barney Frank says that commission should be abolished. And even Barney Frank is supporting legislation right now to try and curb the power of this death panel, which they told us didn't exist, which in fact not only exists, but is alive, well, functioning, and gearing up. David Rehr will be interesting next week. I think you'll understand what I mean by accountability, at least in a financial sense. I want to talk a little bit about, we've talked about the corruption. And trust me, listeners, we have only dented it. Before we move to kind of the next related topic, I'm going to take a word from our sponsors, Midpoint Trade Books of New York, Rockin' SR Publishing of Cheyenne, and Northgate Books of Austin, Texas, and Top My Novels, because I need a breather from all this ugly stuff we've been talking about. And somehow, my books seem to give me a breather. The novel's at the printers. Maps of Fate will be releasing April 17th. Barnes & Noble, Hastings, Amazon, you name it. You can go reserve a copy. There's only 30,000 copies being printed in this first printing. When Threads West came out, it was sold out at 9.07 a.m. In fact, it melted down the Amazon sales button at 9.07 a.m. the day of the release. Barnes & Noble was sold out the morning of its release. The first three printings were sold out the day they released. and lots of folks and lots of bookstores had to wait months for a copy of the book. The 30,000 books of Maps of Fate, the first printing, are already two-thirds spoken for. So if you kind of like this stuff, and you're a follower of this series, you're one of the 300,000 people or more now, I guess, that have read it, you might want to go to our website, www.mapsoffate.com. That's www.mapsoffate.com or www.threadswestseries.com, threadswestseries.com, and reserve a copy or two. It's free. No, there's no obligation. Nobody's going to chase you down if you don't buy it. But reserving a copy might be a really good idea because the publisher is setting aside copies of the book for people who reserve it. And you'll be getting emails. There'll be a really cool contest, by the way, which the publishers are putting on. All sorts of really fun things going on. And there's affiliates from healthcare to horse tack, you name it. I mean, some great outfits who are giving freebies and discounts and all that kind of stuff during the release. And there's so much going on with this release. There's so much activity around this book. We're actually having two releases. April 17th is the release for the general public, and then we're having a special release for the military on April 24th. So it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. The publishers are already gearing up the second printing. But if you like those first printing books, go reserve one. Once again, no cost, and you can, you know, the day of the release, you'll be getting an email from us, and you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble using that email and come on back, join the contest, etc. And the books are set aside.
An estimated 300,000 readers made Threads West and American Saga a number one bestseller and winner of 8 national awards in 2011, including Best Western, Best Romance, and Best Historical Fiction. Threads West and American Saga. Author Reed Lance Rosenthal is a fourth-generation land and cattleman whose cowboy heart and poet's pen capture the spirit of the Western landscape. His long-standing devotion to wild and remote places and to the people, both past and present, who leave their legend and footprint upon America and the American West, is the inspiration for all of his writing. Threads West, the first of the series, available at Barnes & Noble, Hastings, and digitally on Kindle, Nook, and iPad. Threads West. ThreadsWestAmericanSaga.com.
And I was struck again when I was reading the book for about the second time here on this proof, just how different the America of the 1850s is from the America today. And I think we can get it back. I really do. I mean, I think at least right now, so far, there's more of us that have that spirit in their heart. There's more of us who love the America that was than there are who don't care. We're slowly reaching, maybe quickly reaching, the tipping point. But I think any book, any message, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, that gets us back to that touchstone of the past, which we can use as a guidepost to the future, it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. For the rest of this show today, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the various solutions to these problems. And I've talked about it on previous shows, but I'm going to summarize for you. Number one, we have to have accountability. We've talked about that. We're going to talk about it more next week with this incredible computer system, which can be inserted into a state government or federal government. And suddenly everybody knows that John wrote a $10 check to his daughter for keeping his poodle or whatever it happens to be for. And, you know, show me the money. You know that old saying from law school? Show me the money. Follow the money. You follow the money and things are going to clean up real quick. You make people liable for their decisions when they act as your fiduciaries, people that you trust, that you care with your funds, like our elected politicians, and they're going to wise up real quick. You make the tax structure fair. God, I hate using that word right now. But I mean fair in the sense of everybody pays with a flat tax. You eliminate all the deductions. You know that 50,000 pages of the tax code that's been added? And yes, would that be money out of my pocket? You're right. I take advantage of some of those deductions, and some of you listening may also. But it's time for them to go away. We got to bite the bullet, folks. We are out of time. The clock has struck midnight. We are about to turn into pumpkins. It's going to be ugly unless we all control ourselves for the sake of our kids and our children's children and the country. So all those deductions go away. Poof. Gone. Fine. The end. The only things that remain, deductions for mortgage interest on your home and charitable deductions for when you give to charity. That's it. Nothing else. And then you pay your little flat tax. You know, you pay your 5% if you're at 10 to 20,000. You pay your 10% if you're 20 to 80,000. Whatever the percentages are. People can argue about that all day long. They get stuck in the weeds. I'm talking about the concept here. America has to stay strong. Because while we're being weakened from within by people who are attacking our basic values for their own good, on behalf of their own ideology, we're also being weakened externally. Our military is being cut back. Not a good idea today. I mean, the folks around the world just don't like us. They've never liked us. But you know, it's one thing not to like somebody and respect them. It's a whole nother thing to not like somebody and not respect them at all. And unfortunately, America is slipping into the second class. Because if somebody doesn't like you and they don't respect you, then you're going to have a big problem. And that's where we're headed right now. And you know, the tip of the iceberg is Iran, the Middle East, Israel, what's happening in Africa, which you hear very little bit about. I mean, that's Africa, mark my words, and I don't pretend to be a soothsayer. I told you about this European crisis. We'll talk about that in a minute. Long before just about everybody else. I told you about what was going to happen in the Mideast long before everybody else. I pointed out the absolute fallacy, the lies that this president has told about his support of Israel long before everybody else. Told you about the housing crisis and how what really happened there, right? The first attempt to redistribute wealth through mortgages in the United States. Unfortunately, what I'm telling you now is that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, Africa will be the next Middle East. I mean, we're going to lurch from one crisis to another with one hand tied behind our back, because all the money that should be going to our defense and all the money that should be going into private enterprise to rebuild that American spirit that we're losing, those values that we're losing, that's resulting in this corruption, this downward spiral, that money's all going into more corruption. I mean, it's really kind of self-feeding monster. And our national debt is the indication of it. Because all that money's been wasted, folks. It's been wasted. That's the horrible thing of it. We have nothing to show for that $16 trillion in primary debt. We have nothing to show for that $80 to $120 trillion, choose the expert you want to listen to, real debt, unfunded liability debt. We have nothing to show for it. Nothing. We don't have a house. We don't have a car. We don't have anything. We just have the debt. Because the money's been squandered in this corrupt process that we call the government, along with its allies and cronies, business, the unions, the banks. And are these institutions necessary? Well, I'm not sure that they are necessary. I mean, I'm not sure that General Electric wouldn't be better as about 100 different companies, none of them run by Jeffrey Immelt. Their services, I think, for the most part, are necessary. Their goods are necessary. But their control over our lives, their dance with the devil of government, sorry, that's not necessary. That's the problem. That ain't the solution. We need to become self-sufficient in energy. Energy drives the economic engine of any and every country on the planet Earth. Period. There's no way around it. We're not going to all ride bicycles. We're not going to all ride in clustered housing like Agenda 21 mandates from the UN, or at least I hope we're not. Energy is the key. Energy contributes security, stability, national defense, lower prices, more money in the private sector for business investment, and creation of the spirit which can tamp down the corruption. And we have plenty of energy. In fact, we have more energy, according to Mr. Inhofe, and he's in a position to know, in almost every category than any country in the world. Period. Bar none. More. And if you count North America, us and Canada, we're talking about almost twice as much in reserves in oil, natural gas, go down the list, as any other geographic block in the world. Yet we're importing 50% of our oil. Doesn't that strike you as a bit odd? Maybe corrupt? All that money that's flowing from you and me again? It comes down to you and me, doesn't it? That flows from you and me again to someone else? Across the sea? Across the country? Across the city? It's all corrupt. It's disgusting. At the same time, by the way, Mr. Obama wants to triple the dividend rate. You know what dividends are, right? Many of you retired folks out there kind of rely on dividends. Investors rely on dividends. Companies rely on dividends to attract investors, to have capital, to invest, to create jobs. Mr. Obama has proposed, oh no, he hasn't proposed taking that 70,000 pages of tax code and boiling it down to 50. No, he wants to add some more to it. He wants to triple the dividend rate from its current 15% to over 40%. But he's concerned about the little guy, and he wants to see the economy right itself. And he's really scared about high gas prices. You know, he's a liar. That's all he is. Or should we say that's part of all he is? My engineer is waving frantically at me. I've forgotten to repeat our identification. Oh, my. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio, broadcasting out of KGAB, AM, Cheyenne, Wyoming, and their affiliates, and webtalkradio.net, and it's all good. Am I out of trouble? Oh, terrific. Well, we only have a few minutes left, folks, so I'll tell you what. Rather than get further distracted by Barry, which is easy to do, I'm going to give you a bullet point of these solutions. I mean, we can talk for days about each one, but let's talk generalities, and you can think about it. Number one, nothing's going to get changed. Excuse me. Nothing's going to get changed until the people who are in office are accountable. Accountable in terms of liability, accountable as fiduciaries, accountable financially. And to do that, it has to be transparent. We have to know what they're doing. They have to be honest with us, and we have to track it. And when they get out of line, there has to be ramifications. Unfortunately, right now we can't track it. They hide it from us, and there's no ramifications. Number two, you want to get to the heart of corruption and stamp it out and start reinstilling within this country its spirit, its basic spirit that is beginning to drift away. You need campaign reforms. None of this billion-dollar whatever nonsense with special interests funding 90% of it so they can get their way for the next 4 years for the presidency. Everybody needs to be limited to $5,000. That's it. That's all you can contribute to a campaign, whether you're IBM, whether you're Reed Lance Rosenthal, whether you're Sally Lou, or whether you're the AFL-CIO. It's $5,000. No ifs, ands, or buts. No getting around it. No forming little LLCs and super PACs and all that nonsense. It's $5,000 per person, per campaign. Number two, with campaign reform, there's a limit. Let's say $250 million for the presidential campaign. That should be plenty to get your message out. Maybe $10 million for the senatorial, $5 million for a congressman. I'm taking numbers, but you get the point. If you limit the amount of money that can be spent and the amount of money that each individual and or entity, they will all count the same, can put in, you have a level playing field and you've removed the temptation to be bought, because these guys seem to succumb to that temptation without fail every time, and that's part of the big problem. Number three, tax reform, flat tax. Everybody has skin in the game. I don't care if you're getting $5,000 in food stamps or you're making $55 million a year. Okay, you pay your flat tax, whatever that happens to be, and everybody pays something. You breathe the air, you walk the street, you're protected by the army. You've got to have skin in the game. Get rid of the 70,000 pages of the tax code, replace it with 50 pages, and go from there. Along with that, revise the corporate tax structure. Like individuals, eliminate all deductions. All deductions. Let the marketplace rule. You come up with a good product, you'll get rewarded. You don't? Too bad. No more government guarantees using our money to buy political favor with companies, in some cases, that were already bankrupt. Believe it or not, if you remember back here about a half an hour what I was talking about. No, that has to end. You know, the clock really has struck midnight on all this stuff. And getting corporate taxes down will reinvigorate this economy. Giving an amnesty to money that's overseas will bring back $2 to $3 trillion, and that's a lot of dough, a lot of moolah, and a lot of jobs. And security, okay, energy and military. We need to be independent in energy. That means more fossil fuels, at the same time, a surcharge perhaps on profits to invest in alternative energy. No more government whatevers. No more government favors. No more government graft. The military speaks for itself. States' rights, the next one. Let's return control to the states, to the local outfits, to the counties, to the towns, to the little cities. And that includes education. And then last but not least, but perhaps most important, the personal. No more entitlements, folks, for any of us. We all have to kind of step back from that. You want a hand? Look at the end of your arm. Get informed. Be aware. Be cynical. Vote. Get others to vote. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.
For more information about Reed and his work, please click on the globe in front of you on the webtalkradio.net page. You can also click on his book, Land for Love and Money, and his new best-selling historical western series, Threads West, An American Saga. Watch for the second volume of the saga, Maps of Fate, coming soon. And, of course, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archives to catch up. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed L. Rosenthal on the Right Side.